Welcome to another Used Car Week special edition of the Auto Remarketing Podcast. My name is Joe Overby, and we're sitting here in La Quinta, California, kind of looking at mountain range and some palm trees and pretty flowers. And I'm with two gentlemen from Auto IMS. We got another Joe Miller and Venkat Krishnamurti. Did I get that right?
Krishnamurti.
Gotcha. Well, not bad for the first try, I guess. but thank you guys for being here, gentlemen, and thank you for being here at Used Car Week. And I wanted to first start off and look at the white paper that you guys put together earlier this year. And you know, it's about simplifying auction charges and that sort of thing. But after going through the statistics, analysis, and just all the in-depth research you guys did for that paper, what were some of the biggest takeaways and for auctions and consigners from that?
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, it was as much about the research we did for the paper, but also all the interaction with our clients leading up to it. And this is a topic that, I mean, it's a great example of why Auto IMS was created in the first place, sort of that idea of the single gauge railroad track where auctions and consigners could communicate on the stuff related to remarketing. And auction charges is just one of those seemingly simple, benign type of ideas that comes with the car. You're going to sell a car at an auction, you're going to pay for the services that the auction gives you. And as that's evolved and we've reacted over the years, it's turned into 87 different potential charge types. That's auctions and consigners saying, hey, we want to pay the auctions for this. And the auctions say, I want to charge the consigners for that. And before you know it, this has turned into a pretty hairy animal with a lot of inconsistency. And we're starting to see best practices emerge.
Yeah.
It only took 20 years. But, you know, and kind of starting in 2014, we did our Project Client Insight meeting, and that came up as a big topic. We did some work from there. And then since then, it's sort of snowballed into this topic where clients really want to dive deep, and they're finding money on the table and opportunity for efficiency. And so we decided to do some research, put some numbers behind it, found that with 87 charge types, on average, there's only less than four charges put on every auction vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but that adds up to around $385 a car. And so you have to hold your auctions accountable if you're a consigner. And if you're an auction, there's a long tail of accountability that comes with the finances here. And so the consigners are looking for more transparency. They're diving deeper. And so the auctions want to get this right, too. They're not trying to get anything over on anybody. They just want to get it right and meet their clients' expectations, which is admirable. So that's where we've been going.
And who knew there'd be 87 different types of charges? I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think just to add a little bit more to what Joe has already, you know, wonderfully described, the thing about Auto IMS, we've been here for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we are sitting on a mountain of data. And data, if you leave it just as data, is simple data. But once you add the beauty of insight to it, which is what we are attempting with Auction Charges White Paper, that's where the beauty lies, that you add insight to data and that leads to action. And our whole purpose here is three things that we are looking for. Clients want to save money, make money, reduce risk. And I think this mechanism leads to all three pathways where you're looking at, am I being charged right? What are the risks of leaving money on the table? How can I save money by doing something differently? I'm being overcharged on this charge type. So it's really a wonderfully done project, and I have to give kudos to Joe Miller and team, because they really thought about what is the best thing that we can give back to our customer.
Yeah.
And this was one thing. And we have other white papers we're thinking through. So this is our first step towards many other things to come.
So, and I imagine in putting something like this together, you know, you guys learned a little bit of, you know, as much as you've already know about the industry, I'm sure you guys learned a little bit too from putting together a project like this.
Oh, well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, we're a technology business at heart, but the future of our business and really what's made us successful with our clients is wrapping good service around that technology, listening to our clients, understanding their needs and where they want to take it. And when you stop, one of the nice things about writing a paper like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, other than it's, you know, if you need help getting to sleep at night, you want to read about auction charges, right? There's a service to the clients. But it makes you get off the treadmill of all the client work and sort of reflect. You go, what have we done? And what that's led to is, not only do we have this nice portfolio of thoughts and services around this thing, but a whole new set are kind of emerging from the next conversations that are happening. People are taking it in directions that we wouldn't have imagined. So, yeah, potentially simple topic turning into great exception reports, customizations of the site, and also just using the tools that are available as an Auto IMS client. You know, we like to say Live Reports, our reporting tool in Auto IMS, it's free. You're not making the most out of it. Go into it's actually not free. You pay for it. If you're a client of Auto IMS, and our auctions and our clients are all, you know, they're good paying subscribers and members of Auto IMS, they get that tool with their subscription. We encourage them to make the most of it, and that's part of this effort.
Yeah,
is getting them to take the most of, make the most of what they've got access to.
You're paying for it. Might as well use it, right?
We're strong believers in that. Yeah, yeah.
So one thing that I want to point out is, for the 20 years that we've been, there was a zone where, obviously, we are created by the industry, for the industry, of the industry. So that's, you know, that's just the solid maxim on which we operate. But then you have to think about, if you were to rewind the tape back to, say, 10 years ago, most of the business that we had is basically people will show up, they want some custom needs to be done, and we'll react to it, we'll come up with a beautiful solution for them. But then in the last 2 or 3 years, we are trying to do a pivot, where instead of being the order takers, where you're waiting on people to come and then tell what their needs are, understanding their business, we sit on this huge, giant trove of data. How can we get the insights from it and then turn it around to what we understand about the industry? How are your competitors handling this data? How do they do charges? And what are the things that are important to them? So going back to your question about what did we learn, we learned about how we can expose and take the industry somewhere. We can lead the industry in the right direction instead of waiting on the 1 or 2 customers with their custom charge initiatives or questions that they have. So it's a soft pivot. And as you may know, we don't have a sales organization on staff. If anything, here we are, two of the 5 or 6 salespeople that you see. It's basically a cross-pollination function for us. We don't have a sales function at all. So what are the things we can do about looking at the data and then coaching the industry and making them come along with us? It's been a wonderful journey and very, very excited to be a part of it.
Yeah. And you mentioned, to follow up on that, you mentioned that putting this together kind of spurred some other ideas of additional kind of projects and white papers on different topics. Any idea on what those topics might be at this point?
Absolutely. I'll give you the broad brush of where we are going as an organization. We are rebranding towards the API level services as a company. So an example would be like a document API, transport API, charges API, condition report API. So when you look at all these different segments of what the auction business is, each of that can be a white paper in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You do have transport being one of the big costs of moving the metal to the right location. So we can look at the data set that we have and look at how people have handled transportation in the past. Do they do it themselves? Do the auctions take care of it? And we also have hooks into transport companies that do business with us. So we can look at the information and then see what are the best practices when it comes to transport.
Yeah.
Similarly, you can think about condition report writing, the times that we benchmark. So even though I'm not directly answering you, it's more about once we get our mind towards the API-related services, then there are white papers that can come out of those domains.
Gotcha.
The other thing I'd add to that is we're having to pay attention to a lot of the stuff that the rest of the industry is paying attention to. Compliance is a great one. And Keely, on our staff, longtime staff member, has really turned her attention to that for us. And another member, Don Stevens, they're tracking not only for our own policies and procedures, but to handle all the needs, wants, desires, and regulations of the banks and financial institutions, especially the compliance-related stuff. They're already speaking. Keeley's been out speaking to the Auction Academy and in several other forums on the topic. So we're thinking about hitting her up to maybe put some pen to paper on that topic.
Well, that was one of the, you mentioned the Auction Academy. That was one of the, I went to, I think you might have actually been at this one, but it was one where they talked about how in the world of compliance, there's a trickle-down effect that if it's affecting the lenders, it's going to eventually kind of affect the auctions because the auctions or the lenders finance companies have to have a certain set of protocol they have to follow, and they have to make sure all of their clients, i.e. the auctions, are, you know, follow, or their vendors, are following those protocols. So, you know, I definitely see a lot of room there as well. So it's good that she's going out. You guys are being proactive about it. And like you said, going back to what you said about the instead of waiting for them to come to you, you go out and be proactive about it. So
yeah, it's true.
Well, Joe, we're putting you to work at this conference. Not only do you have a podcast with us, where you're moderating two different, you're moderating a session about the future of wholesale disruption, and then you're doing a kind of standalone workshop about the white papers. Can you give us a preview of what each of those will entail?
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited about both of them. The white paper workshop, I'm hoping, will be very interactive. You know, I don't think there'll be a huge crowd in there, but we're gonna be a little provocative and give people a chance to ask questions about what we wrote about in there. Test them on whether they did their homework and read the paper. But I've got a sort of a summary of the paper and some examples of going a little bit deeper than the paper to show off some of the work we've done and some of the things that are available now, yeah, kind of as a modular concept in AutoIMS, just to thought provoke and also get more ideas going. So that'll be a good intense half an hour. And then on the disruption side, I'll tell you, we had a great prep call with, mm-hmm, that panel, and it's Jeff, Keith, Scott, and Derek. You'll meet them at the panel, but these are dynamic industry leaders. They went right into this conversation. Any one of them could moderate the panel better than I can, but it's probably because they've got real informed opinions, but they bring a lot of energy and perspective to this topic of not just what is disruption. I think we kind of covered that last year, right?
Yeah.
That we've been bandying this about at all the events in the last year and a half or so. So we're going to go deep into things like the financial implications as you move your business from maybe startup phase to enterprise phase, which a couple of them are, mm-hmm, you know, whether they've been acquired or capitalized. How do those expectations change for your shareholders and your employees and your clients? And how does that drive the decisions you're making? I mean, when you're a startup and you're an entrepreneur, there's a certain risk tolerance and there's a certain profile that you kind of adopt. When all of a sudden you've got these higher level financial implications, oh boy, it changes,
yeah,
right? But you don't want to lose that ability to disrupt or innovate. We're going to talk about the foundation of technology that's been built and the pace of change of technology. So if you think about mobility, if you think about just ubiquitous bandwidth, which is old news now, fibers everywhere, right? All the way to now we're seeing the emergence of artificial intelligence. And you know, I've just been to a few sessions so far this week early on, and it's coming up in every session. Mm. This kind of, it doesn't matter what the topic is.
Yeah.
Everyone on these panels are looking at the technology to drive decisions and then take it back to, without spoiling too much of our panel here,
yeah,
but taking it back to, and you want to hear these guys,
yeah,
talk about it, shows you, but the human factor, and they,
sure,
all agreed on the phone that, you know, in this age of compliance and trust and transparency and relationship, I mean, is never going to go away. You can, yeah, have machine learning all you want, but they believe in relationship and trust in the human factor. So we'll talk about that too.
Very,
it'll be a
good,
great session, I think.
And to follow up on that, where do you guys see, you know, in that area you're moderating, where do you see AutoIMS kind of helping out with auctions and consigners in that area?
You want to look at the future, Venkat? Or do you want me to start?
yeah, I can. Well, I think maybe what we need to do is just roll back all the way to 1998.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about, and Joe hit this point in the very beginning about the single gauge railroad, right? So you had different auction operating systems, and then people were still having issues with building their own custom feeds with consigners and whatnot. And AutoIMS was birthed around that time when internet was just taking off. And we basically came up with standard APIs for consigners and auctions to connect to us. So instead of building 2,000 connections, now you have this one connection that feeds both sides, auctions and consigners. Now, just fast forward all the way to 2017, November. We see that there is an uptick in the online space. We've been talking about it for years on, and there is definitely a shift happening towards the online spectrum of upstream sales. And when you think about the different online platforms we have, you know, we can name a few. We have OVE, we have Smart Auction, we have OpenLane, we have others too, and some of them are private label. The architecture of these things are still disparate systems, and how do we actually put the single gauge railroad there in the online space? We've done that beautifully for the past 20 years with AutoIMS. And in fact, we are very honored to be to have a seat at the table. Anytime there is the notion of multi-platform selling, or we want to connect these two upstream systems together, there's always an invite that comes to us, and we are very honored to play a role in that. And I think that if you just take a comparison between 1998 single gauge railroad track to 2017, it's the same thing that we're trying to solve. And I think we are in a very good spot with all the connections that we've built to handle this well.
You know, I had those exact notes written down, Venkat. I mean, you were looking over my shoulder. It's so interesting how we come around, Joe. I mean, I know you were thinking about talking about our 20th anniversary. That's one of the reasons we keep referring to the history. It's top of mind for us.
Yeah.
It's our 20th year in business. We've been a slow, steady growth company. We're a joint venture of competing auctions, right? We were founded by the auction industry. And there was consternation 20 years ago among some of them as to whether this would, how this would affect competition. So does data, does that single gauge railroad, does it enable the auction business or whatever business we're touching to focus on what their core business is? Or does it actually change their ability to compete? And, we obviously, to Venkat's point, we have our ideas on that, and we think the industry will land in the right place. But as it relates to the internet here 20 years later, it is a very similar position we find ourselves in. And it's provocative right now. It's one of our things that we focus on but are challenged with a little bit, is thinking how we can serve that part of the marketplace. Probably inevitable, but it bears constant reminding, the data versus the insights, right? And my favorite analogy that I heard was the drunk in the lamppost, right? If you do use data like a drunk uses a lamppost, which is for support rather than illumination.
Yeah.
All right, because you can spin the data any way you want it. But at the end of the day, if you go deep and try to find the insight to drive decision. I was just in Madge Saburo's session a little while ago, and it's really cool what V Auto has built, for example, to put profit and the dollars around a vehicle first to help understand where should I buy? How do I buy smart, right? All of that's out there to be had, and we're as interested in connecting to the partners that give that level of insight and connecting the data to our clients who need to develop those insights as we are in developing those insights ourselves. I mean, there's only so far that we're going to be able to go, I think, technically in our charter. But in the meantime, why create a whole new business out of connecting the data if that's not your sweet spot?
Yeah.
Let that fall to the industry partner that can do that for you, right? So,
well, you and Joe, you mentioned the kind of the slow, steady growth that AutoIMS has had over the last 20 years. Where do you guys see that growth most evident in terms of what areas of the business or industry?
Yeah, I'll start and I'll ask Venkat to follow up. But big for the last couple of years has been connecting to third-party vendors and other parts of the industry, transportation vendors, repo companies, some companies that we've traditionally competed a bit with but is not our core business. So putting an end-to-end solution together with an RDN or an iRepo so that finance companies can have this beautiful connection. Car gets repossessed, and without a human interfering, they know that it's going to go to a specific auction in 10 days because that's the state it's in, and that's the geofence they set up and all of that. Where I see us going, I mean, I think more of that, just the tendrils going out and continuing to expand that spider web of connections. The core double-sided platform is still auctions and consigners rotating around that wholesale transaction, right? Where we've hired recently has been data. We've got a new database focused person who's going to help us drive insights for our business and our clients' business, a person who's going to focus more on contracts and compliance and help us kind of raise our game there. Vankit's team, maybe you talk about Technology 2020 and what's that's bringing. And we've invested a lot in our client experience programs. So we have a cross-functional team set up to help us understand and reflect on our business, which we and our clients and our relationships, and the tagline we've come up with that is built in partnership. There's a little bit of a wordplay in there, but I mean partnership is that key word, right? And that's kind of how we see it. So there's investments there, and then it's just we keep listening,
yeah.
We keep following that water downhill, and as much as we can, we try to find the places that we can help the industry turn to meet the future. So.
I think the key word there is listening, that I really love about who we are as a company. And the one big thing that we've done in the last almost a year, I would say, is around the concept of we've been doing order taking for more than 15 years.
Yeah.
And in the process of doing that, we've stood up many different products. We've connected many different dots. So now the question becomes that, what is the commonality between all these product suites that we have? And we've put some effort towards that as a management team. And we challenge ourselves to come up with the notion of a product catalog. If we as a company don't understand all the different products that we've done and coach our own employees around what each product line does, how can we actually influence our customers and bring them online, right? So it's more about having a very concise, precise definition of all the different products we have and how they can benefit each customer, and then taking it up a notch where you look at three of the customers subscribe to this product, but then I know that there is going to be seven more who seem to be in the same line of business. So why don't we just pick up the phone, or when we meet them, talk to them about, hey, we have this product stream and seems like you're in that wheelhouse, so how about we talk to you more about it? And I have to give credit to Joe. He came up with the term of the loom. It's more about, you know, putting the dots together and making the ideas and different slices and dices connect and take the product to market. So that's one thing. The second thing that we've done is Joe talked about the plan 2020, technology 2020. Last year, I challenged the whole technology team with just think about what we will be in 2020, and this is across the different departments, the database, the software product, the Java website, every team, what do they envision as we walking into 2020 with? And I have to say that I was very pleasant with the depth of writing that came from the team. And bear in mind, this is a technology team. So the standard, you know, the stereotype of they don't want to get on a phone, they don't want to write well, all of those things really don't exist within AutoIMS.
Nice.
Joe has seen that paper, Joe Miller. And this is some of the densest writing. We have actually on staff people who have been in the legal route, who've been lawyers before. They just, you know, hung up their coat and decided that they want to do technology. And we have a passionate team which really has put some thinking behind what 2020 looks like for us. And it's actually a nice thesis of about 30 sheets of paper. And the good news is we presented that to the AutoIMS board last year. And the first thing from them was, how much money do you need to support this?
Nice, that's always a good answer.
So it was well done, and we got the investment that we asked for.
Yeah.
And the board is fully supportive of it. And in the last one year, we actually have reached about almost 70% of the goals that we outlined for us. Granted, there are more things that will be added since this is a living and breathing document. We are not in 2020 yet, but whatever we set out to do, we are at the 70% mark today. So it's a great time for AutoIMS. It's a great time for us. It's a great time for our customers and the industry in general.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being on the show today, and congrats on the first 20 years, and we'll look forward to the next one, next 20 years as well. But well, guys, thank you again for being here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here at Used Car Week.
Joe, thank you. It's fun.
Joe, thanks a lot.
Well, for Nick Zulovich and our entire auto remarketing crew, I'm Joe Overby, and we'll catch you next time.